We're interviewing today Mrs. Mary Carrera. Grew up in Fall River and worked in Fall River, raised her family. Where were you born, Mary? When were you born and where were you born?
11-5-28, and I was born in Fall River. Was it Everett Street? I forgot the name of the street.
And how about your parents? Were they also born in Fall River?
Portugal.
And do you have any idea whereabouts?
My mother was in Nordeste. And my father was in St. Michael's. Yeah, they met here.
Well, they met here.
Yeah.
And were they married here? Do you know the church by chance?
Espirito Santo.
Espirito Santo. Very good.
On Alden Street, yeah.
What did they do for a living?
My mother was a spinner in a mill. And my father was He was also worked in the mill.
Did your mother tell you what mill she worked in?
Matter of fact, I started in that mill too. We used to walk every morning. Then I got a problem with my legs, so I had to quit the job. Then that's when I went into the shops.
When you were working in the mill, what kind of work did you do?
I used to clean, like the spinners, I used to clean it. But I always had a helper. They were always ready there to help.
The Davis Mills.
Yeah, we all worked there. Then I had to quit because I couldn't walk that far. That's when I started in the shops.
Okay, so before we get to that, let me just keep working on growing up on Everett Street.
Moved to Cash Street.
Well, we lived on Pittman Street not too long. Then we went to Cash Street.
And what was that neighborhood like?
It was nice. Everybody knew everybody.
Was that a single-family home or a three-family?
No, it was... Well, by the time my mother had me, it was two of us. It was like two or three of children in each family.
And how many children were in your family?
Eight. I was the second oldest.
And can you tell us a little bit about all those children?
It was me. It was Manny. It was me. Then it was Irene. Then it was David. He died.
She has a sister, Rita. She has a brother, Leo. She has a brother, John. And her brother, Manny, who died 2 years ago, was in World War II.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, how did you manage all these children? How did your mother manage all these children?
We all lived in one house. I'll never forget it. Every time a baby was born, my grandmother will come and say, "You watch him." She'd bring him in the room, close the door. Then all of a sudden, another one. Then they'd come and bring them to me because they had them at home.
That's what I was going to ask you. All these children
all
were born at home.
They were all at home. And then they'd come and bring them to me, and I'd say, "Another one. Another one for me to take care of." Hey, I was the oldest girl. But it was... My grandmother lived with us.
Okay.
So she was a great help. She was. Then we moved Everett Street. Then we moved to... She moved to Cash Street. That's where I got married from, was Cash Street.
It's funny how they stayed in the same neighborhood. They moved from one street just to the next street over. And I think a big part of that in my growing up years and listening to family stories is it was very important to stay in the parish because religion was a major, major part of the...
So tell me about the religious background in your family.
Oh, we all went to the Espirito Santo church. Oh, yeah. Sunday, everybody had to go to church.
And how about your brothers? Were they altar boys?
No.
No, but my grandfather was very involved in the Espirito Santo procession.
No, he used to go to
the bust of Christ.
He used to collect at the churches. He collected the money at the churches. And if there was anything to be done, he would be right there.
I know that the churches had a lot of processions.
And we were in it every year.
And Mary, you watched those processions. Did you carry anything?
We have the crown. We actually own a sterling silver crown.
Oh, wonderful.
It's at her apartment.
Wonderful.
Carry our own crown.
Did that come from Portugal?
Yes.
My sister-in-law gave me that one because somebody gave her one. So she gave me hers.
Yeah, but it is from Portugal.
So there are a lot of Portuguese traditions in your family.
We have the last, what they call them, the Dominga. The church picks seven families. Probably 4 years ago was the last time we had put our name in, because it's a lot of work. But the last time we put our name in was 4 years ago. We had the Dominga here. I set up an altar in my living room with the candles, and we had prayers, and we had open house for 7 days.
That's right. Open house for 7 days. So there's a lot of entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of food.
Enjoyed everything.
A lot of food. And in the days you're talking about, it was a lot of people in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The same people in the neighborhood.
And people that had the Domingos, they would come too. They would come. Like, let's say they had the second and third Domingo. They would come to mine, and I'd go to theirs. But it was all right.
That was kind of like a fundraiser for the church. Was that how it was?
It's not really a fundraiser, because when they come to your house, the concept is that they light a candle, and you collect a dollar for the candle, and that does get donated for the trip to the church. And then at the end, there's a procession to the church in honor of the story of the Holy Ghost, which is an interesting story. It's the story of Queen Isabella, who sold her crown to feed the poor. And that's why when we have the feast, it's the Portuguese soup, and you don't pay. Everybody who goes to the feast eats for free.
But I looked forward to that. Oh,
and there's a lot of, I know a lot of dinners. My mother went to a lot of those events in Espírito Santo. Actually, she met my father in a church. So I think this was a good place to meet boyfriends, too.
I was already married.
Okay. I don't know if your parents let you go to these things. You know, unchaperoned.
When I was little, I had to march in all of them.
But what about when you were dating? Like, how did that happen? Like, what was that like if you wanted to go out? Did you have to take your sisters with you or your brothers?
No, that's when I was working at the shop. That's where I met your father. I was, 17? Started going out with my husband.
You started going out at 17?
Yeah.
Not before that?
No.
No.
If I went out on a date, I had to be home by 10. Because my father got home from work at 10. And I had to be home before him. No, that went on for a long time. And after, I went out with my husband, 5, 6 years? Because I told my father, I said, Joe's going to give me a ring. And, and want to talk about getting married. So, no, we have to go to Portugal first. I says, I ain't going to no Portugal. You're not going to marry me off out there.
Oh, was that the idea?
Oh, yeah.
Then because finally, she was the daughter.
So, finally, we started going out. I had to be home before 10. Then when he finally gave me the ring, the only one I could talk to was my mother. So I told her, I said, Ma, Joe's going to give me a ring. I says, I'm not going to be just keep going out with him. We're going to get married. Oh, yeah, okay. My mother-in-law had it all planned.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I had to move in with her.
Oh, so did she have daughters?
But
you had to move into her house?
I had to move in with her.
She didn't want to let go of my father.
So we went, got married. I was there for 9 years.
9 years in your mother-in-law's house?
Let me tell you, I went through hell.
Was that in the same neighborhood? Was that in the East End as well?
Pittman Street.
And you went through hell. I'm not making light of that. I can imagine. How did you work through all those problems?
I put one kid to bed, and then it was about maybe 9, and I says, I gotta work tomorrow, It comes Emily with her two kids. She goes right in my bedroom, and she takes the kid out of the crib. I says, Emily, I gotta work tomorrow. Oh, you'll be fine. Oh, I didn't go for that.
So you had your children and your mother's.
She had just me. I was an infant.
Okay.
But the problem with my grandmother was that her house was Grand Central Station. All of her daughters, nieces, nephews.
The strollers lived downstairs, so it was like open house. Well, the first 5 years, I didn't have any kids. I had a problem. I didn't have any. Then after I told my husband, I said, I can't keep up with this. I said, we have to get a place. Because he was so tied up with his mother,
Now, did he have brothers and...
Only sisters.
Just sisters. So She was kind of, didn't want her son to leave.
Of course not.
Is that it?
Only son and the youngest.
Well, you had to pay into the house, too, didn't you? I mean, you had to pay.
Oh, yeah.
You had to pay for the food. You had to pay board.
Oh, yeah.
How did you work this out? I mean, how about the cooking and the buying groceries?
Well, he used to take me in there shopping, you know. She did the cooking. It was only supper time because I worked and he worked. Like I said, I paid for my sins, let me tell you.
How about chores around the house? Did you have to do a lot of housekeeping?
My room.
Just your room?
And her room. And then after I got fed up with it, I told Joe, I can't keep up with this. Oh, wait. So finally I says, look, either you go with me or you stay here. I talked to my insurance man. He says, Mary, I got this apartment for you. I says, where? He says, on Harrison Street.
I says, not too far away.
Yeah, but not too far away from her daughter.
But far enough away from her.
Oh, yeah. So I says, yeah, where is this? He told me, he says, come and see me tomorrow. He was nice, though. He was real nice.
So your insurance man owned the property.
Mr. Zahadi, wasn't it?
Huh?
Fred Zahadi? Zahadi Insurance, I remember.
Yeah, I'll tell you. He was a nice guy. He saw what I went through. You know, I'd have to set out my laundry. The laundry would come in. I'd have to hang it all out, then take it all in, and it was a bugger. Finally, when I talked to him, I says, Joe, I says, we have to get a place. This is ridiculous. So that's what we came for, right? And we saw Tilly. She says, all that land is all free, all by one owner. I says, really? So we bought it. Then after my friend of mine, she liked it. So she bought the last lot from us. But my husband built the house. He did it himself.
He was very talented. But you told me he was a mechanic in the shops. And
he fixed machines. He fixed everything.
Sewing machines.
Yeah.
And he was a carpenter, too. He built his house.
We would work. He would work on the house till dark. And I can remember laying in the car.
Then my father would come and help, too. At the time he was alive. And my mother would come and she'd sit downstairs and watch my father spread the
cement for the bricks.
Well, like I said, everything turned out okay.
Well, it's a beautiful home. And your husband, you know, was looking ahead.
Yeah.
He knew that he wanted to provide for his family. I'm going to go back to Pittman Street because we didn't cover the school, Espirito Santo School. Now, this was a Catholic school.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Espirito Santo. How many grades were in that school and how were the teachers?
Eighth grade. See?
What about you when you were going to?
I was doing fine. I loved it. Because when I got to eighth grade, I'll never forget her. Mother Hanjo, she talked to me. She says, Mary, would you like to come and see? I don't know where the hell this place was. Where the nuns were.
The convent.
Oh, she was thinking you were going to be a nun?
So I said, sure. My mother almost flipped out. No, I went. I saw what they went through and all. And I said, it's not for me. But no, I graduated from there. I went to high school for 2 months.
And that was Durfee High School? Very good. What happened there, 2 months?
I went to work. My father, they needed the money.
That was a very, very common thing.
I was the second oldest one, so I had to go to work.
And Uncle Manny was already working, right?
Yeah.
Where was Manny working? Was it a mill or a factory?
He went to serve.
Okay, and then when you left Durfee High School, when you went to work,
I went to work in the mill.
Family, where did you work? What was that job?
It was spinning.
At the Davis Mill.
Yep. And that's where you met your husband.
No, I met him. What was that other shop right near the mill?
It was after the Davis Mill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were making jackets, and I liked these jackets. They were nice. I wanted a black one. So he was like a mechanic or whatever. He come up to me, and he says, what are you looking for? I says, I like these jackets. I want to get a jacket. He goes and gets me a red one. I said, I don't want a red one. Oh, this is a nice color. I says, I want a black one. And he's looking, he says, yeah, but the red one is better. I says, look, either I get a black one or I don't get one at all. So he got me a black one. Then he started giving me a ride home. And that's how I met him.
And this was a factory that made jackets.
Yeah.
Ladies' jackets.
Right upstairs. Women's jackets.
Do you remember what street that one was on?
Quickishan Street.
Quickishan Street, okay.
Was it upstairs from Stella Ann? Because we had Stella Ann. Then we had Shelburne Shirt. Then we had Clearview.
I forgot.
Okay.
But anyway, that's where I worked. Not for too long, because, hey, I had to walk it, you know? Then that's when I went into, what was it? Shelburne, making cuffs.
Okay.
Shirt cuffs.
And maybe that was, what year?
I was in kindergarten, so that would have been approximately 1957.
I've heard Shelburne was a pretty tough place to work in. It was very demanding. Is that true?
The head floor lady, she was tough. How was her name?
Well, you were on cuffs. How do you do cuffs on a shirt? If you want to describe that.
We didn't put it on the shirt. I made the cuff.
Oh, you did?
You take the one that had the button and put it on the other one and stitched it right around. So every time she'd get tired, she'd come and say, Mary, let me see something. She'd sit on my machine and sew. I say, this is pretty good.
So you made the cuff that would go to another person?
On the shirt, yeah.
And then that operator would put it onto the shirt.
It was nice. I liked working there.
Was that piecework?
When I was in middle school, you were still working at Shelburne Shirt. You were working at night.
One of the things I was going to ask you, because when we talk about all the years working, you know, there's a lot of technology that pertains to our life. And I'll go back a little bit and ask you, in your family on Pittman Street, did you have a radio? Do you remember when you had a radio?
Oh, yeah.
When was that?
We had a radio in the house.
When you were growing up, or was it later?
No, when I was growing up.
Just one radio, I imagine. And what about heating the house? Were there wood stoves or coal stoves? I'm going back to my own grandmother at this time because she had coal stoves.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Or gas heaters?
I don't know.
I'm going to jump in and say it was gas heaters.
Do you remember your refrigerator? Did you have to...
Oh, yeah, we had to put ice in it.
And I bet it was a small one.
And a lot of times my father would say, come on, and he'd go get the wagon, and we'd go down and get ice. Oh.
I'm thinking back now on the Cash Street apartment as a child. The toilet was a pull chain, and the tank was above your head.
Above the head.
And I can remember as a child, like, you were always worried that the water was going to dip over on you, on top of you.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, I don't think any of those apartments at the time had hot water. You had to...
No, we had to warm the water.
You had to heat your water.
Yep.
And
no tubs.
No tubs.
We had this big thing like this, and I'd say, okay, Saturday nights. I'd say, okay, the baby was first. The little one was first. Wash the little one, then the second one, then the third. Then empty that out and get some more warm water for the others. By the time it was my turn, I just laid in there. My mother'd say, hey, y'all, you going to sleep there or what? I says, right now I'm tired. I'm too tired to sleep.
Spunky, Mary. You're pretty spunky.
So I had to take my bath. You know, it was rough. But it was, the people were nice. On Cash Street.
And the beer making and the wine making and the cellar. Do we want to get into that?
And shopping in that area. Where did you go for your groceries?
My father did the shopping. Where the hell did he go?
I know, there weren't any supermarkets like today.
No, there wasn't. There was this big place where they sold like fruit and vegetable. Forgot the name of the bloody place. And I used to laugh at the end of the summer. My father would say, look, Meg. I says, oh boy, here we go. We should go to the places where they just sold fruit so he could make his wine.
Okay, so he made that from purchase fruit, because I know a lot of people in that area of Fall River had grapevines.
You used to buy the pigs, kill them, and then bring them home.
That also was very popular, and I think it was done during certain times of the year, especially maybe tied into feasts, where families would butcher a pig and make their charisse and make their moussalas.
Oh, my father used to do that. And I was right in the middle of that.
And also Peppers, too, I think. Very popular. Yeah. At the end of the summer.
You used to go to all these stores on Pleasant Street.
I can remember their hands being swollen. She and my grandmother, as a child, I used to watch. They had the grinders.
Yeah.
And they would grind the peppers and the onion, and they would make these sauces, and they would can them.
Yeah.
And I can remember their hands being, like, blistered from the...
So canning. You did canning in the house at the end of the summer? I know that was a popular thing to do as well.
Yeah, well, a lot of the grind-up pepper and cut-up onions and stuff like that, we used to... They used to put in the big jars. Oh, yeah.
Now, you were born in 1928, so you were kind of coming in just before the Depression, and then you were growing up during the Depression. What was that like?
I mean, a lot of people knew my father.
Was he working during those years?
He worked at the mill.
He was working.
He used to go in, 12 o'clock and come home at 10.
That was unusual because a lot of people weren't working, you know, during the Depression.
He was. And my mother, too.
So the Depression, you would have been a small girl at the time, growing up during the Depression, and you had older brothers and older family members.
I only had one older brother. The others were all younger.
And they were working?
They
working during that time?
Nope.
What did they end up doing? What kind of work did they end up doing? Oh, I know this was a time when a lot of people were on welfare, too.
Oh, no, not us.
My grandparents were too proud to ask for any help. You all went to school. I mean, you were working. Uncle Manny was working. But all the others were in school.
In school at the Espirito Santo. Mm-hmm. Now, you had to pay tuition, I think. Did you have to pay tuition in the Catholic school? I know they do today, but I'm not sure in those days.
No, I don't think they paid tuition because my grandfather worked at the church on Sunday. He would pass the collection boxes. But he also did a lot of the work on the church grounds. So if there were some kind of a barter program, because he worked at the church and volunteered so much, then the children were probably allowed to go at a greatly reduced rate, is what I'm guessing, because there was no money. Mm-hmm. It was almost a bartering system.
You mentioned one favorite teacher at the Espirito Santo, and I didn't catch her name.
Mother Anjou.
Anjou? That's Angel, isn't it? Angel, and I'm trying to pick up...
Anjo, she was great.
Yeah.
She's the one that was trying to talk me into being a nun.
I think that was probably what a lot of the nuns did, you know, try to do a little recruiting.
She even took me to some place in Providence.
That was the convent.
Yeah, to go look at the place.
They only had one lay teacher at the Espirito Santo school, and that was their kindergarten teacher. It was a Miss Cabral. And what's amazing is that my mom had her for kindergarten, and so did I. So she was there for a very, very long time.
All right, I think you went on a little bit already about your marriage, when living with your mother-in-law. When you set up your own home and you had another child?
Yep.
My brother, Joey.
Your brother?
He was born in 1957. I was born in 1953.
And you were working at the Shelburne then? And that was in the 50s.
My brother Joey, who was born in 57, was born while we were living in Westport.
Well, that would have been a big change for you to leave the city to come to the country.
I couldn't wait.
I can imagine. And Gifford Road probably was very rural.
As a child, we could walk and not see a house, and we could
What were some of your traditions? How did you celebrate holidays?
We did it like everybody else.
And all the relatives come here?
Yes.
This is the central point.
Downstairs, all finished. There was a bathroom down there.
A bar.
Everything down there. I got a kitchen down there. Everything was down there. So if they didn't want to come upstairs, they'd go downstairs. But it was always open house. Especially when it was for the Holy Ghost. It was open house. Oh, God. It was really, really something.
Well, I remember the Flint a little bit, too. And I remember the movies that you could go to in the Flint and the restaurants.
Yeah, that was on Pleasant Street.
On Pleasant Street.
Strand.
Theater.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a lot of good restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Farina was right in the corner there. Right in the corner.
Farina's. It was at the corner of...
Farina's?
Farina's.
Farina's, okay.
Corner of Alden. It's just at the bend. It's almost diagonally across from Shelburne Church.
Okay.
And as a kindergartner, I would walk from Espirito Santo to this Fadinha's restaurant to meet my mother for lunch. And then she would leave Shelburne and have lunch with me. I would walk back unescorted, unattended.
Back to school.
At 4.5 years old.
She didn't have to cross no street because that was...
She would cross me lunch. And then I would walk 3 blocks to Espirito Santo at 4.5 years old.
4.5 years old.
And you didn't have to worry.
You wouldn't.
No,
you wouldn't
never,
do it.
Then after the Mrs. Fria hired me.
The lady in the restaurant?
Maria, she says, go to work for me. I said, I got to work. She says, no, just at noontime. She says, you work for me, you get free meal.
Oh, so you were working at noontime while you were supposed to be having your lunch.
So after that, everybody is all fed. She said, okay, sit down, what do you want to eat? Then she'd go get my plate.
Now, was this while you were still working in the Shelburne? You didn't miss a minute.
Working lunch hour.
But she was good.
Fadinha's, that sounds like a good Portuguese restaurant.
Oh, it was. It was.
Another restaurant up on Pleasant Street that was very popular. And it really speaks to the fact that that was a neighborhood of Portuguese.
And Lebanese.
Lebanese. Certainly the French.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There was a mixture there.
Yeah, it was very, very diverse, and people talk about diversity, but it was a good mix of various immigrant groups.
It was good.
So looking back at all of this work in Fall River, if you want to pick up on some of these factories, think of any other factories that you were working in?
Yeah, I went from Sheldon, I went to...
Claremont, you made pillows. Clearview.
Then I went to the other one. I forgot.
Beaumont Manufacturing is where she went after Shelburne.
And it
was right next door.
And that was...
Right next door to Shelburne.
What kind of work in Beaumont? That was...
You were making pillows.
Pillows.
They made pillows and cushions.
And cushions.
That was her... Actually, that was your last place of employment.
Yeah.
So you retired from Beaumont.
That was the one when I told the boss, it's my last week here.
He's the one that gave you the $100 to stay.
No, he sent me upstairs.
To see the big boss.
To the head boss. Because when there was a Portuguese people coming in, I'd be the one to go teach them, you know. This lady, I said to her, you know, Father, see. Then he'd come and talk to me. Then she says, how come he's going to come to talk to you in English? I says, would you understand him? She says, no. I says, well.
You were kind of interpreting and you were kind of training at the same time.
Then after when I told him the week was on a Friday, I says, I got to talk to you. He says, my office. I go in his office. He says, what's the matter? I says, this is my last week. What do you mean this is my last week? I said, my husband's home. I'm working. I says, I don't think that's fair. So he looked at me. He says, all right. He sent me back to my chair. I continued finishing the work that day. All of a sudden, I see him come up to me again. I says, oh, no. He says, Mr. Mintz would like to see you. I says, oh, shoot.
Well, let's hear that name
Mr.
again.
Mr. Mintz.
Mintz, M-I-N-T-Z.
He was the head one.
He was the owner.
So I went upstairs. Oh, I was there for a long time. Then he gets up, goes and locks the door. It's like a noose for this sucker. Then he goes and locks the other door. I just sat there. So he says, I can't talk you out of it. I says, no. I says, I got to retire. I says, it's about time I did. So he says, well, are you going to finish the week? You going to finish the day or what? I said, no, this is my last day. He says, oh. Then he gets up. So I got up. And he come up to me. He says, well, he says, if you ever change your mind, just call me. I says, okay.
But you were a good worker, so he didn't want to lose good workers.
So he come, shook my hand. He said, I wish you a lot of luck. I says, thank you. I said to myself, if he goes any further than this, I'm going to hit him. No, he just shook hands. I said to myself, what the hell did he put in my hand? I walked out the door, he put $100 in my hand. I said, I'm not going to change my mind.
Now, how old were you then, and how many years have you been working?
Oh, busy. Retired.
About 68.
It was almost time for me to retire in the 60s. But,
You were in your 60s?
Yeah. So my husband was home. What the hell was he doing home? I should be home.
He was already retired.
Oh, yeah. But no, I retired, and that was it.
He was a good boss, Mr. Mintz, though.
Oh, yeah, he was.
You used to talk about he would deliver ice cream to all the workers on Fridays in the summer.
When he'd come downstairs, I wouldn't even look at him.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Hey, I didn't want to get too chummy with him.
Okay.
He talked me out of it.
You're one of the favorites. Yeah, they were Lowe's favorites in the show. And it's favorites everywhere.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Wherever you work, there's always a little favoritism.
When he used to come downstairs and you'd see him walking up that hallway, he'd come straight to my machine.
Now, Mary, when you retired, what were you going to be getting as a retirement? Now, all these places that you work, do they have unions? Do they have...
Oh, yeah.
You were paying union dues?
Oh, yeah.
So what was the union that you retired from?
I don't know.
The small check, the Garment Workers Union. Check that I get for you every month, it's from the Garment
Workers
Union.
It's from International Ladies Garment Workers.
Ladies Garment Workers.
Okay, because Shelburne was amalgamated.
That's right.
Shelburne was amalgamated, so you kind of had two different unions there. How did that work out? Did you get...
I don't know.
You know, did you get money from both? I mean, you know, did you get...
I don't remember. I
don't worry about it, Mom. Let's finish this.
Well, it's okay. I'm just going to go back a minute, and I'm trying to figure out, when you retired, you know, where your benefits were coming from. If they were coming from the union, you're probably going to get Social Security, too.
She does. She gets a monthly Social Security check, and she gets a monthly union check. Right?
Whatever.
Mom, you get two checks every month.
Okay.
You get the one from Social Security, which is your big check, and then you get the small check.
Yeah, which is, you say,
it's from the union.
ILGW, and yes. I guess somewhere in there, I'm trying to think, I think you might have not had enough years in the amalgamated. You probably lost those years. Mm-hmm. You probably lost those years. I know my mother did. She was right there from the beginning of amalgamated, and then left it at the age of 55, and she was short a few years,
okay,
even though she was already vested in it.
Right.
So that was a big disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big disappointment when you work that long and you pay in and you don't get anything back. I think we've done about an hour of this, and I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, anything you want to tell me that I didn't ask about. Usually it's just about family and your work and retirement, so I think we kind of covered it. Well, I'm going to leave it at this point, and if you have any other thoughts, you can always tell me.
Sure.
Tell me about them, or
sure,
jot them down a little bit, especially if you can add on to any of the career moves that you made in the factories. But I want to thank you so much for helping us.
No.